Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. What really is the difference between NFP and contraception? Why does the church allow one way to avoid pregnancy and not others? What if someone has really serious medical reasons to avoid pregnancy? Or what if NFP called a couple to actually abstain for months or years on end? Does the church have leniency here? We're going to dig into all of these questions and more in this week's episode. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy, the sex and intimacy podcast for Catholic women. My name is Ellen Holloway, and I'm a Catholic speaker and coach who specializes in sex and marital intimacy, and I am on a mission to help you actually enjoy and desire good, holy sex with your spouse. Joining me in today's episode is my amazing, semi-regular co-host, Kathleen Chavanis. All right, let's get into it.
Let's do it. It's been a while since we've done this one.
Yes. This is a common topic, and it's good to hit again. It's good to hit, you know, maybe from a slightly different angle and just kind of remind you of the importance of this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a good reminder for all of us. I mean, Kathleen and I were kind of walking through it. We're like, yeah, this is important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's stuff I think that sometimes you even forget, like, you kind of forget the answer sometimes as you're like, you know, navigating it in real life. You're just like, wait, what's the, and you sort of need to refresh yourself on it even. So
I think it can be really easy, especially if you're just in kind of a longer season of trying mm-hmm. to avoid pregnancy. It's very easy yeah. for NFP to kind of like almost that discernment piece, that prayer piece, that like intentionality piece can almost just hang out on the back burner if you're just like in a long season of avoiding and you just know that there's not really an option of yeah. having a child, maybe a serious medical reason or something else, you know, just sort of bigger and longer. And so we can kind of, yeah, forget the why, forget why God calls us to this difficult thing of NFP, like what really NFP is. And how it is wildly different than yeah. contraceptives. And I think, and that is something that I think people who are kind of on the fence about NFP, it's hard to see that difference. So that's one of the things we're definitely going to try to hammer out here as well, is just knowing what is the difference between contraceptives mm-hmm. and using natural family planning.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's start with what sex is, like what this action
we're getting real
between
basic.
Two humans yeah. is. Yeah. And, you know, biologically, sure, we could get into that, but I think we all know biologically what sex is. But the biological absolutely can and does inform the theological aspect of things. That is a foundational principle of the theology of the body. Is this is what John Paul II kind of wanted us to understand, or part of what he wanted us to understand when he was sharing this theology of the body that he had really put together, was that mm-hmm. our bodies are extremely intentional, and our bodies tell us so much about who we are as humans, who God is, the relationship that God wants us to have, our ultimate destiny, you know, yeah. all of those things. And really, truly, there are like two major parts of the body that inform those things. And that is the sexual organs, the penis for the man, the vagina, clitoris, like the whole, you know, vulva area, that whole sexual organ piece for the woman. Okay, so what is sex then? One of the ways I like to talk about this is that sex is really a way that humans can image the communion of persons that is present in the mm-hmm. Trinity. And like, that's a lot. And we can say that, we can hear that, but it just sounds like gibberish because like maybe we've heard it a million times. But like, mm-hmm. if we just stop for a second and realize the intensity, the gravity, the massiveness of two fallen, sin-filled human beings mm-hmm. can image God, the eternal, the perfect, the ultimate. I don't know.
Yeah.
Other names, right?
The OG.
The OG.
The OG.
I love that.
Yeah.
That is actually a huge responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, sex is not some carnal action that is simply to fulfill a, like, a desire.
Yeah.
Or to just, like, make us feel good. Sex is that important that we image God. And so, and what does that mean? What does that mean, right? So God in the Trinity is a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. We see God in this Trinity. One way to explain this Trinitarian God that we have is the Father initiates love to the Son. The Son receives that love fully, perfectly, ultimately receives that love, and in receiving that love becomes a gift of himself in a perfect way and gives himself back to the Father. The Father then perfectly receives that love and in receiving gives himself as gift back to the Son. And so there's this spiraling of love between them, and that love is the Holy Spirit that's like spiraling and basically intensifying at every given moment between the Father and the Son. And so there's sort of this, like, if you think about the universe and how the universe is ever expanding, like that's the Trinity. There's just like this essence of ever expanding greatness and love and perfection and all of those kind of things.
Yeah, and I think that is, it is. So then we have, right, like this incredible, this incredibly intelligent and intentional design in humans, right, for that to be able to mirror that by, husband fully giving himself to his wife who receives him and in receiving gives back, gives love back to him, right? And then that love in being so perfectly ordered to this creation of another person, right? Like that's, it's so important that we keep that in mind because otherwise it is just like, oh, well, it's a carnal desire, right? Like it's like, I want you, you want me, let's just like do this thing. When it's like, no, it's so dangerous to just bring it down to like biology, right? To just it, because it's so much more than that. And that's where we answer the question, well, why is contraception so bad, right? Essentially, in that use of contraception, right, you are removing, even if it's not possible because of where you are in your fertile state, right? Like you're just, you're outside of your fertile window. Like there's no possibility of really conceiving anyway. It's the fact that that act is ordered against creation of life, right? Like we always have to remember that in every act, we have to keep it ordered to be a really, a true representation of Trinitarian love. That act always has to be ordered to that creation of new life, whether it's possible or not, right? Because then we could say, well, if that wasn't the case, and it's like, well, then infertile people just should never be having sex. There's no possibility pregnant, for them to
pregnant
conceive,
people
right?
shouldn't be having
pregnant
sex.
Pregnant people shouldn't be having sex, right? Like, it just, in cooperation with God's design of human fertility and the female body, right? Like, we can still enjoy sexuality while being infertile, while also being ordered towards this creation of new life. It's when you stop that ordering, right? That where you remove that just the order of creation, right? The possibility of creation, that we essentially are just trying to like remove the Holy Spirit, right? If you think of it in Trinitarian love, it's just like, oh yeah, I'll love you, but I don't want it to be this like deep, intense thing that, you know, that ends up being geared towards creation of new life.
Right. Like it's basically saying like, I don't want this relationship to be fruitful. And that doesn't necessarily,
That's,
like,
that's a better way to say it.
Children.
Right.
Like, fruitfulness expands out from a deep and intimate marriage in so many ways beyond children. Yeah. We often use, like, that physical child because, like, that physicality is, that's how God created us to understand the world. That's why we are body, soul, beings. We are a union of body and soul. Like, he created the physical world so that we can interact with it and understand things, right? And so the physical creation of a child out of the love of a husband and wife, that's an image for us. Like, that's helping us understand how fruitful sex is. It's just like, whoa, it has the ability to create life. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like, that right there, pause. Wow. Right?
It's a divine power, right? Like, it's something, it is, it's because, like, if we remember, we're body soul unions, right? Like, my OBGYN, who's this wonderful Catholic pro-life woman, she said to me before, you can provide an egg and your husband can provide a sperm, but only God can make a baby because we need a soul, right? Like, so it's beyond biology. Like, we can look at it and just say, oh yeah, it's biology, but that's a lie. That's not true. Because if we are a body-soul union, humans cannot create souls, right? No. Humans can create bodies, but only God can create souls. So there is a divine power to procreation that, you know, modernity will reject, but
we can use that physicality of the fruitfulness of marriage to help us understand the spiritual fruitfulness that happens in sex when husband and wife come together in a free, faithful, fruitful, and total, like, coming together, right? They come together in sex in a completely open way. Then there is, like, insane amount of fruitfulness that comes out of that. I once heard it explained, and I believe it was Dr. Gregory Bataro, who kind of, we have these four, like, elements of love. We have this free, total, faithful, and then fruitful. And he was kind of explaining that, like, marriage sort of sits on this, like, three-pronged stool of free, total, and faithful. And then the fruitfulness, like, comes from that, right? Of a husband and a wife coming together, like, freely, totally, faithfully, it's going to be fruitful. And I thought that was really a helpful
image. Yeah, that is really good. I'd never heard it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Good old Dr. Gregory Bataro. He's great. Hey there. We'll come right back to the episode in a moment. But first, I want you to imagine for just a minute what your marriage would look like if sex just wasn't an issue anymore. Imagine your relationship if sex really served as the beautiful fruit of a loving relationship and it helped both you and your husband grow closer to each other and closer to God every time. There was no more hesitation with sex, no more arguments about sex, no more shame or confusion over pleasure. If that seems like a dream come true, or maybe it even seems too good to be true, I want to invite you to fill out the application for my 12-week one-on-one coaching program and imagine what your marriage could be like after 12 weeks of working one-on-one with me to heal your sexual baggage and grow in understanding of yourself, your relationship, and the role of sex in your marriage. Click the link in the show notes to apply today. So let's talk about what contraception is then. Is contraception, if we go to the Latin root of the word contraception, we have contra and we have ception. So contra is a root word that means against. And then the ception part, that's like part of the word concepcion, old French, you know, that sounds like the Spanish word concepcion, like conception. So basically contraception is against conception. Natural family planning is not a contraceptive. And we'll get into that in just a second, but I'll keep, like, we'll define contraception, right?
Yeah.
So what Kathleen was saying just prior to this about, like, contraception blocks that fruitfulness. And if we go back to this three-pronged stool, we have a free, total, and faithful. If you take away one of those things, you have this three-pronged stool, then the stool falls over, right? Yeah. And with contraception, ultimately, before you're even taking away the fruitfulness of the act, you're taking away the totality of the act.
Yeah.
So you're taking away the completely open, full gift of self. You're blocking a part of you. Physically, you are blocking an aspect of your humanity, which is your fertility. Now, that might be a physical block, like a condom, right?
Right.
That might be a chemical block, right? Like a hormonal contraceptive or like the copper IUD that, yes, it is not hormonal, but it affects your hormones in such a way that it stops ovulation and thins the uterine lining. And we don't need to get into the specifics of it, but it is, it, that is a chemical block. It's essentially giving you copper poisoning. Please don't use it.
Seriously.
There's so many things wrong with it. So it could be a chemical block, or it could be a physical, intentional action of taking away the full gift of self. That is pulling out. That is an intentional action to stop the act. Like, honestly, and this is just my opinion. This is not church teaching, but like, when I hear about pulling out, like there's almost more intense of gravity of like the removal of the totality of the act in pulling out than any other contraception. And they're all bad. Like they're all totally against church teaching. But like, if you are intentionally stopping the marital act from completion, like you're just, my heart just hurts.
Well, and also, like, let's go back to Old Testament, right? Like, God made it so clear that that was a huge no-no, right? Like, we have the story of Onan, who spilled his seed, right? Like, because he didn't want to reproduce with, it was like his brother-in-law's, or his brother's wife, right? His brother died. He didn't want to give an heir to his brother, right? His brother had died. And so he did. He pulled out, and God was like, nope.
Right.
Slayed him, right? Like, it was just like it so clear. Like, if you I don't know, it is, I think you're right, like, because that is the one type of contraception that is specifically mentioned in the Bible, right? Like, there does feel like a massive weight, and like, and again, God just struck him dead for the sin of spilling his seed.
Well, so, and there is just like,
this is intense, this is a lot.
Even more into Onan, right, is ultimately what was Onan not doing when he chose to spill his seed? He was not following God's will, because God had made it clear in his law that this was how it worked, is that if you are the younger brother, and of course this is not how it works in today's world.
You're right, yeah.
But like, true. This, you know, this was the law, and Onan chose to take it all into his own hands and say, I don't want to follow God's will here.
Which is pride.
And that, yeah, absolutely. And that's what's happening with contraception. And here is where a perfect transition into why NFP is not contraception, because natural family planning is the use of a fertility awareness-based method alongside prayer and discernment. Using natural family planning automatically implies that you are following God's will, because the use of natural family planning requires prayer and discernment. If you are not constantly praying and discerning whether or not your husband, you and your husband, are following God's will while using fertility awareness, then you're not using NFP. You are simply using a tool.
Yeah.
And that's not what natural family planning is. And that's not what the church calls us to in responsible parenthood. Because responsible parenthood, which is what Pope Paul VI, he kind of coined that term in Humana Vitae in 1968. And that document, Humana Vitae, was when Pope Paul VI just really confirmed the church's teaching, kind of reconfirmed it once again for kind of the modern world. Like, look, contraception, absolutely not okay. That's where he also explained the inseparability principle. This was a development of doctrine. We didn't have the inseparability principle before, but it was the inseparability of the unitive and the procreative aspects of sex. We have to keep those together. We cannot rip one of them apart, right? And contraception tries to take that procreative aspect out and we're left with the unitive, but since they're inseparable, you try to take the procreative out, the unitive goes with it, and now you have a meaningless act. Yeah. And truly, you look at society, sex is meaningless, right?
Truly.
We embrace contraception and sex became meaningless because those meanings are inseparable, unity and procreation. So natural family planning, using responsible parenthood, using those natural methods of fertility awareness, but ultimately what NFP is that responsible parenthood. It implies that prayer and discernment, that constant desiring to follow God's will. And so what we're doing with natural family planning is that we are using the natural cycle that exists in a woman's fertility. She's only fertile for roughly a third of her cycle. Mm-hmm. Yes, different cycles, gonna look different, whatever.
Roughly
a third.
Yeah.
Somewhere between like a quarter and a third. We're using the the physical signs that are given to us about a completely invisible thing that's going on, right? Mm-hmm. And we're using that to inform whether or not we're fertile, where that fertile window is. And a couple trying to avoid pregnancy is abstaining during that fertile window. And then a couple trying to get pregnant would be really like aiming for that fertile window.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's fertility awareness. But NFP is more than just that tool of fertility awareness. It includes that prayer and discernment. And that prayer and discernment is vital to using natural family planning, because otherwise we can just get into this like checkbox mentality of just like, oh, we're trying to avoid pregnancy, like, you know. And I like hear these stories of couples that like during the fertile window they go and they sleep in separate beds, or they like don't touch each other, right? Because it's like, oh my gosh, like we're gonna go too far. And it's like that is not embracing chastity. That is not living out your marital call. That is not a free, total, and faithful gift of self that is also fruitful, because your marriage can be fruitful whether or not you're having sex. But if you're like separating yourselves from each other, there's no ability to be fruitful.
And that's exactly right. There's no ability to be fruitful. And let's get into some real life application here. Okay. I've got 5 children, ages 10 and under. Like, my prayer life is not consistent. And like, much to my chagrin, right? Like, yeah, should I be working to make it consistent? Sure. But the reality being, our days are insane. We've got a lot of stuff going on all the time. I struggle to make my prayer life consistent, and I struggle to remember the things that I'm always trying to pray for. So sometimes, though we practice NFP, I am not sitting down every day to say, Lord, what do you want from us in like our family planning this cycle, right? Like, that is not always the prayer that consciously like is sent up from me, okay? Mm-hmm. However, I want to say that it is something that it is. I choose to live my life in a way that I'm constantly asking the Holy Spirit to just move me to where He wants me. Okay. So even though I think that sometimes it's kind of like, so should I just be praying like every single cycle? Like, what should I do this cycle? And I'm going to be honest and say that that's not what I do. I am always asking the Holy Spirit to move me where He wants me. And that's with all things, right? That's not just in regards to NFP. That's in regards to, you know, homeschooling my daughter and where my kids are going to school and what I'm teaching them in a day and how I'm serving my family, right? Like, how I'm prioritizing things. Like, I'm asking for his intervention constantly in every way. When we remove ourselves, right, from the marriage bed like that, right, we are essentially not giving the Holy Spirit room to work. Mm-hmm. Now, let's point out the fact that NFP has perfect use statistics and typical use statistics for a reason, right? And I will say that a lot of the times we end up in that typical use, you know, that's the reality, right? And because there have been times, there have been days, and children have come from it, right? Where it's just like, yeah, I know I'm in this fertile phase here. I'm within that window, but you know what? Let's just go for it. And it's completely spur of the moment. You know, it's like, Lord, bless this act, whatever you want to happen. If you want a baby to come from it, then let it come. And if you don't, then... And there's not always a lot of intentional thought before that.
Yeah.
But it's that... We are living our lives where we are not, you know, cutting off the possibility of conception, right? And there is a freedom in that, that we can kind of go day to day just being like, yeah, not right now, not right now, not right now. But we are still remaining open to the Holy Spirit to convince us otherwise or to move us otherwise in any moment, right? Yeah. Like, it could just be like, I could wake up one morning and be like, oh yeah, no, I'm not trying to have a baby for another like 6 months at least. And then that night I could just be like, you know what? But my husband's looking really good right now and our marriage could really use this. And so, Lord, do what you want.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I think, more often the reality of NFP, is that you are leaving your body in a state where it can constantly be moved by the Holy Spirit, right? No matter where your brain is, your body is always open to the Holy Spirit moving and speaking to you in any moment to accomplish God's will for your family.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, this is the Christian journey overall, mm-hmm. is being open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And I think one of the places that we as married couples, you know, see it in the most like difficult way is that openness to more children, because that is like it's a huge task. It is a burden. Yeah. It is a cross, right? Yes, I love my children, but oh my gosh. Yep. Sometimes it is really, really hard, right?
Yeah.
It's hard on my body to be a mother. It's hard on my brain to be a mother. It's hard on my house and my furniture to be a mother.
Right? Oh, yeah.
But, and this is what NFP really kind of opens us up to and like leads us to, is that following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And as Christians, we have to recognize that God will call us to things we don't think we're prepared for. He will call us to things that we think are impossible. He will call us to things that are extremely painful, physically mm-hmm. or mentally, right? And that might mean that he is calling you to an unplanned pregnancy. Or that might mean that he is calling you to a very long period of abstinence because mm-hmm. of a medical yeah. reason, because of difficult cycles. Or he might be calling you to, you know, long-term NFP, meaning like long-term avoiding pregnancy. Again, maybe for a medical reason, some other circumstance in life. And that might mean a lot of abstinence.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's hard, just because it truly feels impossible, does not mean God's not calling you to it. Okay. Yeah. I hear this sentiment a lot. Like, I don't think God would call a married couple not to, you know, embrace each other for so long. Okay. When I hear that, I'm just like, are you kidding me? Because I'd like to introduce you to the holiest married couple that we know of that were called to never embrace each other. That would be yeah. our Virgin Mother and Joseph. Like, that's the saddest argument that I think I ever hear about, like, NFP and, like, using it in kind of a long-term avoiding pregnancy way is like, oh, I don't think God would ever call us to, like, not come together like this. Yeah, actually, he might. Mm-hmm. He might call you to that.
Maybe just for a period, right? Yeah, exactly. Maybe just for a time. But, like, ultimately, the Christian journey is suffering. There's, like, so much suffering that we are called to. And that can be so redemptive if we just embrace it.
But if we don't embrace it, it can just feel absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part, right? And we're not going to be able to, we don't have time to like get into that more. But go read John Paul II. It's like Salvifici Dolores, which is like on human suffering. Fabulous document. Go read that one.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do an episode where we kind of like break that down in the terms of NFP. That would be kind of cool. I think like I see this in like the Facebook groups a lot. And this is why we're kind of digging into this at the end of the episode here. Now that we've built the why, right? Now that we've really explained why the church allows natural family planning for, you know, avoiding pregnancy. And why it's so different than contraception. And why the church doesn't allow contraception, because it completely tears apart the union of husband and wife. Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, God very well might call you to abstinence for a few years.
To be ready.
He very well might call you to use natural family planning to avoid pregnancy for a decade. For 2 decades, he very well might call you to that. He very well might call you to have another baby 9 months after you just had a baby. He very well might call you to having, you know, like 3 under 5 or 4 under 5 or 5 under 5, right?
Yeah.
Like he very well might call you to these extremely, and I'm not trying to discount that these aren't hard. Like, but he very well might call you to these very, very hard situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is okay. And we have to be okay with the fact that our Christian journey might involve walking with Jesus on the road to Calvary. Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.